pray. Jesus, the one true Christ or Messiah, you made the journey to Bethlehem Ephrathah while you were still inside of your earthly mother Mary. And so we ask that you would be with us as we make that journey today and this week. Help us to see how you perfectly kept the word and will of God the Father to accomplish all that needed to be done so that we ultimately might be saved. Please be with and protect us in the midst of all of our journeys this week as we also come to kneel beside your manger and to worship you. It is in and through your name, O Jesus, that we do pray. Amen. Our meditation here for this day is largely based upon the Old Testament lesson, which was previously read. Again, I'd like to read a few verses from there, from Micah chapter 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. He will shepherd his flock. His greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. And he will be their peace. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. We just sang O Little Town of Bethlehem, which is usually a song that is reserved for Christmas. So some people might think that I jumped the gun a little bit in singing that song a little too early. But as we prepare for so much that will be happening over just the next day and a half, I think that it would be good for us here this morning to look at that little town before tomorrow night, when we talk about the amazing things that happened on Christmas night so many years ago. Let's look at the town, and especially some of the history, for some more of the rest of the story. Before we go into the midst of that bursting throng of people that was crowded into this little town because of the census, before we will be weaving in and out of that gathered crowd looking for a place to stay with no room in the inn, before we, within a number of hours, hear the birth cries of a young virgin mother, and then the newborn cries of a little babe that ring out in the stillness of the night air, let us start at Bethlehem. The prophet Micah, about 750 years before the time of Christ, was moved by the Holy Spirit to write that the Messiah would come from Bethlehem. He said, "You, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel." He goes on speaking about that coming ruler with these words, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. That last part, when you look at the actual wording, can be translated from the days of eternity. We're not talking about some old king long ago. The prophecy is about the one who would spring forth into history from eternity. There was only one who was there even before everything else was yet made. God is the one who has no beginning and has no end. That one would come forth from this little town, this little stop for bread. That's what Bethlehem literally means, house of bread. It was a little under 6 miles away from Jerusalem where people would stop at it, almost like a food and fuel to get some bread on the way into the way bigger city of Jerusalem. That's the one who would spring forth from eternity to come and dwell with his people, God with us. That's what the word Emmanuel literally means. How could the one who has no beginning and will have no end, the ruler of the entire universe, the king of all kings, actually come down here and be born in that small little city of Bethlehem, whose only real claim to fame was that it had been the birthplace of King David many years earlier? The key is in connection with that word of promise from God. God had moved the prophet Micah to pronounce some additional insight into the coming of the promised Messiah, the coming one who would save his people from their sins. Since Adam and Eve had opened the door to sin and all that came in with that sin, including sickness and disease and famine and perversion and death, to name a few, God had promised one to come who would remove its horrible impact and influence upon all of creation. And since Adam and Eve could not remove it, God was going to have to be the one to do it. He was going to come unto his people. He further explains how he would do that in St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. I quote, "Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be continually grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." Bethlehem may be the place where the Christ child would take his first breaths outside of his mother's womb, but it's not where the story actually first started. In reality, the beginning of that idea of the Son of God humbling himself and coming down here is much, much earlier. Micah said that this whole idea, I quote, is from of old. Jesus was true God, and his plan for mankind's salvation actually goes back even before they had first sinned, all the way back to the beginning of everything. The Bible tells us, I quote, "God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world." And so in order for God to choose us to be his very own, he had the plan way back there, before time and space. We may not be fully able to comprehend all how that worked. We leave some of the details up to God and know that he had it planned out for our good. Jesus told us, I quote, "I have come from the Father and from my Father." And he also said, "I have come down from heaven to do the will of him who sent me." God revealed some more of that unto St. Paul. He said that that Jesus was God himself, but he stripped himself of all privileges as God and consented to be a slave by nature. He became man and humbled himself by living a life of total obedience, even to the point of being able to die. And he would allow himself to be subjected to the most humiliating and painful kind of death. Death on a cross. To be executed by crucifixion was what the Romans, those are the leaders at that time, did to the worst of the worst criminals upon the earth. Please think about that. Jesus came from the beauty and the glories of heaven to the ugly brutality and agony of a cross. And so we go to Bethlehem in preparation for Jesus' coming and all that he had come to do ultimately for us, that we might have forgiveness and life through faith in what he would complete for us with his suffering for our sins and his resurrection to new life once more. I wonder sometimes if we really think about what that all involved and what that was really like for them there in Bethlehem. What do you think about when you hear that town Bethlehem mentioned? There was a pastor by the name of O.T. Kretzmann who put it like this. "One of our troubles is that we have romanticized or sentimentalized the stable and the manger. We see them through the warm glow of our comfortable homes and our candles and our well-fed bodies. Perhaps we have never quite dared to face up to the fact that a stable is no easy place to have a baby, and a manger is not a good place for a child to begin life. It was cold, ugly, dirty, and mean in Bethlehem that night. Far, far away, as far as you can get from the golden streets, the pearly gates, and the chanting of cherubim and seraphim, all the things that make heaven, heaven." end quote. That gives us a little picture of Bethlehem. It all looks so beautiful on our greeting cards. And yet I think it's important that we remind ourselves here, before we take the journey there tomorrow night, that it was not that lovely, and it was not that comfortable. It probably was quite different, and in many ways, it was probably terrible. Besides being confined by the womb of his mother, this birth, in this place, at this time, in the midst of these people, was the beginning of the humiliation, the humblement of the Son of God. And when we think to that ugliness, please remember God himself was willing to go through such pain and darkness and cold and cruelty because he was now seeking us to find us in this ugly world of sin. God himself was humbling himself to the point of being wrapped in human flesh. And when we say human flesh, that doesn't mean that he just had some skin that wrapped around some kind of internal glowing God form. No, he had a body like we do, yet without sin. He had nerves throughout that body, just as we do, that would feel real pain. He had veins and vessels shooting throughout the body, just as we do, to carry his blood, even as ours does. Why do I point that out here this morning? That Son of God that was promised to be born in that little town of Bethlehem would have a body that he would eventually allow to be beaten and put on a cross at Calvary. He would have nerves that would suffer the greatest pain that anyone has ever had to suffer or would ever suffer, as he would receive the punishment that each and every sin ever committed rightfully deserved. And he would have veins carrying his holy precious blood that would burst on his back when he was whipped and would be pierced on his head as they hammered the thorns into his skull, and would be ruptured when the nails were driven into his hands and into his feet, and would finally give way when that javelin or spear would be driven into his side. Oh yes, he would have a true and real body, even as we have. So in preparation for all the festivities that will shortly be coming in the next couple days, let us thank God for humbling himself that he might be born in Bethlehem for us. When we sing, "Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie." Let us remember how Christ Jesus humbled himself to come down among us in little Bethlehem, to be with us and fulfill all that had to be done for us. Many years ago, there was a Persian monarch who loved his people very much. Periodically, he would disguise himself and then go down to mingle with the people. One day, he went to a poor man to the public baths that were located in a tiny cellar. He sat next to the man who was taking care there of the fire. When it was mealtime, he ate the same food and talked to that lonely man as a friend. He came back day after day, and the other man felt like they had developed a real relationship. One day, the monarch told the man that he was indeed the monarch. The monarch really thought the man would then ask for some special gifts, but the man just looked at him and said these words, "You left your palace and your glory to sit with men in this dark place, to eat what we ate, and really felt for us when we were sad or happy. With others you might give gifts, but to me you have given yourself. It is my prayer that you never withdraw the gift of your friendship." That beautiful picture reminds us that Christ, who was born in Bethlehem, left the glories of heaven in order to share himself with us. He ate what we eat. He wept and cried, experiencing the pains and the sorrows of life, even as we have. Oh, what humility he showed for us. That's who Jesus Christ really is. And what he came to do, all for a relationship with you, my friend. He has longed for and planned for this relationship with you even before the creation of the world. So please remember that love of Jesus as we go into the next 2 days. Jesus Christ would give his all for you. And that was all part of God's loving plan before all the lights and the songs and the wreaths and the silver bells in the presence. As he would show in that little town called Bethlehem. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep our hearts and our minds and our faith in Christ Jesus our Lord unto life everlasting. Amen.